Welcome to The Weekly Option, the podcast for people interested in trading stock options. Each week, we cover trade ideas and opportunities in the stock market right now. Whether you're a beginner, a professional, or just curious about options, this is the show for you. Let's get started. Welcome to The Weekly Option. This is episode 140 on November 13th, 2020. I'm your host, Eric, and in this week's show, we will cover the trades from last week on Tilray Incorporated, the iShares Silver Trust ETF, and the Gap. And we did on Nikola Corporation, Viacom CBS Class B shares, and Bank of America. Now, it's always great to hear from listeners. If you have any questions about the trades presented here on the show or even about your own positions, feel free to email me. You can email questions to eric@theweeklyoption.com. That's E-R-I-C at theweeklyoption.com. I've also created a short video series to teach you all the basics of option trading that you'll need to know to be able to follow along with me on the show. You can visit our website and click on the videos tab to watch them, or visit the YouTube channel for The Weekly Option. Now this week, the equity markets had another strong week-over-week gain. In fact, this is a really strong week because it's one of the highest closes we've seen on a weekly basis. The Dow Jones Industrial Average grew 1,156 points, ending the week at 29,749 points. The S&P 500 index picked up 75 points, closing at 3,585 points on Friday. Now it's time for the topic of the week. And the topic this week is all about technical analysis. So I want to discuss one of the things that I use, how I use technical analysis for trading. Now, some markets are more sensitive to technical indicators, and given the number of hedge funds and larger funds, pension funds and whatnot, that are using algorithms to trade the market, I feel like technical analysis is becoming a much better indicator of trader sentiment. So I like being aware of support and resistance levels. And obviously a support level is a price that's typically below the market that will create sort of a floor. Like when a stock or a future shares price gets to that support, normally it bounces off of that support because there's a significant number of bids of people that want to buy there. So it sort of creates a lower bound. And then resistance is the exact opposite. It's the ceiling, right? So at resistance, it's when you have a level with a number of sell orders. So when the price gets up to that area, there are just a lot of resting sell orders that will come in and sell the option or sell the asset at that price. And so it creates this sort of boundary. And what's really interesting is that when you pass through these levels, they typically will switch sides. So resistance becomes downside support when the stock price goes higher. And that support, if price goes through it, can actually end up becoming resistance. So 2 weeks ago, I want to say it was a Wednesday, a week ago Wednesday, I was looking at Bitcoin and noticed a support level that had just been passed around that $14,000 level. And thankfully, I decided this time to actually take action, which is always important. If you don't take the action, you don't make the money. So I bought that level and identified the area that I could, that I thought would become the next resistance level. And it was an area that had been support like a couple of years ago. And sure enough, Bitcoin rose to that level, $2,000 away in about six trading days. So I'm happy that I bought it. And now, of course, I have to decide where I'm going to exit because this is a trade, not an investment. And I'll just say a quick bit about that. We have a lot of little sayings in trading. And one of the things we say is nothing makes a long-term investment like losing money. Like guys will lose money and suddenly they're like, well, I really bought that for my portfolio, meaning they're going to hold the trade. Really, they're holding it for a way to get out of it with profit rather than acknowledging that it was a bad trade. They took a loss, go ahead and exit. So I'm saying right off the bat that the Bitcoin is definitely a trade, not a long-term investment for me. and I will most likely look for a way to exit. So always important to know the difference between a trade and an investment for your own portfolio. But I do encourage you guys, definitely be aware of technical indicators, technical analysis when you're deciding to look at an idea and see if it has, you know, some legs to go ahead and deploy capital. I always check the technicals, and I'm happy when they work. But not every market is technical as well, so there are a lot of nuances to trading. So it's important to know whether you're trading something that is likely to respond to technical indicators or not. So let's get into the trade review from last week. We'll start off with the covered call. And as a quick side note, thank you guys for listening last week to the show. I know it was a lot shorter, and that was because I was at a retreat on a ranch in Texas most of the weekend and did not have a chance to record the show and get it posted by Saturday morning like I normally try to. But the show, if any of you missed it, it is out there, episode 139, and we're going to discuss right now the review from those trading ideas. So start off as usual with the covered call. I looked at Tilray Inc., symbol T as in Tango, L as in Lima, R as in Romeo, Y as in Yankee. Now at the time the stock was trading for $9.63 per share, I looked at buying that stock and then selling the November 10 call at $1.52 per call, which could give us a maximum return of 19.63%, just shy of 20% in 2 weeks. Now we know with 2 weeks left of trading in November, these are obviously going to be some trades with a lot higher risk because of the short amount of time involved. Tilray stock fell nearly $2 this week, closing at $7.65 per share on Friday. The call option we sold can be bought back for 12 cents, which will allow us to lock in a profit of $1.40 on the option. That leaves us with a net 58-cent loss on the week. Now, this is a perfect example for rolling the strike lower. We can sell the November 8 call at 33 cents, and if the stock does close at $8 per share in 1 week, we will fully make back our loss and finish the month with a 10-cent profit, or, you know, at least closing this trade for scratch. Now, that's worth it to me. And, of course, you can collect more premium by selling the December 8 call option instead. That's certainly viable, you know, rolling the trade into the next month rather than rolling it into another strike. The biggest reason I don't like that is I don't like dragging risk into the next month unless I'm intentional about it. Like if I believe in this stock and believe it's going to go higher, I'll absolutely give the stock more time by rolling it forward to the next month. But for now, I just see if I can manage the risk in November alone and exit this trade for scratch or as close to scratch as possible. And the beauty of it is if you do sell the November 8 call and we don't end up crossing that level this week, you're still going to own the stock and you can still turn around and roll the risk into December if that's what you like. So that's it for the covered call from last week. Let's look at the credit spread. So we looked at the iShares Silver Trust ETF, symbol S as in Sierra, L as in Lima, V as in Victor. At the time, the stock was trading for $23.79 per share. I looked at selling that November 23-22 half put spread at 15 cents, which could give us, of course, a maximum possible loss of 35 cents per spread. The silver ETF fell 89 cents this week, closing at $22.90 per share. The out-of-the-money put spread we sold is currently at the money. In fact, the option we sold is 10 cents in the money right now. So the spread we sold is currently worth 26 cents, and that is a loss of 11 cents per spread. Now, my biggest concern at this point is that the spread could lose another 24 cents if it were to finish fully in the money. Now, given the lack of time into expiration, I mean, we only have 1 week left, I would consider closing this trade and taking the 11-cent loss. Now, we could sell the at-the-money call spread and collect 15 cents, But that trade would likely end in a loss as well, because I'm counting on some movement this week. And if I sell the call spread and the put spread, I really want, you know, prices to sit still for 5 days. And I don't think that's likely, especially given how high the U.S. equity markets are. So I'm less inspired to just, you know, create the iron condor by selling that call spread against it. Now, I don't mind waiting a day or two to see if the stock ends up going a little bit higher and pull us out of this situation. But remember, we ultimately just want the share price to finish at $23 per share or higher. But at $23, like, if that happens, the spread expires worthless and this trade is fully a winner. And we are just about there right now. I mean, we're 10 cent past it. So definitely want to give this trade enough room to sort of blossom. But at the same time, I will have a quick trigger finger on this spread this week. Our third trade from last week was a debit spread on Gap Incorporated, symbol G as in golf, P as in Papa, S as in Sierra. At the time, the stock was trading for $21.43 per share. I looked at buying the November 21 half call spread, paying 33 cents for the spread, which could give us a maximum gain of 17 cents or a 51.5% return in 2 weeks. Well, Gap stock gained 64 cents this week, closing at $22.07 per share. The in-the-money call spread we bought is even more in the money now, which is great. In fact, we are $1.07 higher than the call option that we own. So as long as this stock stays above $21.50 per share over the next few days, we will make a 51.5% return on our capital. That's a very nice return, a very nice trade for 2 weeks. So congratulations. So that's it for the trade review from last week. Of course, we are entering expiration week for the monthly options in November. On today's show, we are actually going to start focusing on December trades, not any one-week trades in November. We're going to start off with a covered call, as usual, looking at Nikola Corporation, symbol N as in November, K as in Kilo, L as in Lima, A as in Alpha. The stock ended the week at $21.18 per share. And I'm looking at buying that stock and selling the December 22 half call at $2.85. That can give us a maximum return of 19.69% in 5 weeks. Now, you enter this trade by buying Nikola stock for $21.18 per share and selling the December 22 half call at $2.85. This trade makes the most money if stock prices finish above $22.50 per share, and the break-even price is $18.33. Now, in real terms, the stock purchase would require $2,118, and you would collect $285 for selling the option. Our next trade on the week is a credit spread. This week, I'm looking at Viacom CBS, the Class B shares, symbol V as in Victor, I as in India, A as in Alpha, C as in Charlie. The stock ended the week at $30.20 per share. I'm looking at selling the December 30, 29 put spread at 36 cents, which of course can lead to a maximum possible loss of 64 cents per spread. Now, you enter this trade by selling the December 30 put at $1.52 and concurrently buying the December 29 put for $1.16. This is a credit spread because we are selling the spread. And this trade makes the most money if stock prices stay above $30 per share. The break-even price on this trade is $29.64 per share. And in real terms, you would receive $36 per spread that you sell and have a $64 at risk. And then, of course, our final trade on the week is a debit spread. Looking at Bank of America, symbol B as in Bravo, A as in Alpha, C as in Charlie, the stock ended the week at $27 per share. I'm looking at buying the December 26-27 call spread, paying 62 cents, which could give us a maximum gain of 38 cents or a 61.29% return on our capital in 5 weeks. Now, you enter this trade by buying the December 26 call for $1.61 and concurrently selling the December 27 call at 99 cents. This is a debit spread because we're buying the spread, and this trade makes the most money if stock prices finish above $27 per share. The break-even price on this trade is $26.62, and in real terms, you'll pay $62 to enter this spread, and your maximum gain is $38 per spread. So that's it for this week's trades. Thank you guys so much for listening to the show. I am going to be updating the YouTube channel as well soon. I've gotten behind on that, but wanted to make sure that we have the hottest trade ideas going on the podcast. I am going to be putting more focus on video here soon. I'll definitely let you guys know when to expect some new content in the form of video. So that'll be fun. Let me know as well. Thank you for those of you, by the way, who emailed me. I had several people email me over the last week and ask for the payoff graph. I will be emailing that here in the next day or so. So you'll get those directly from me. Thank you also for the couple people who asked a couple position questions. So I'll be getting to that as well. Those are always fun for me. But overall, thank you guys for listening. Thanks for supporting this podcast. And I will be creating some new content for you guys to enjoy soon. All right. Hope you have a fantastic week. Happy trading. Thank you for listening to the Weekly Option Podcast. Please subscribe to our show and visit us at www.theweeklyoption.com. Disclaimer, there is a very high degree of risk involved in trading. The indicators and strategies described in this podcast are for educational purposes only and should not be construed as investment advice. For our full disclaimer, visit our website at www.theweeklyoption.com.